Hey everybody, welcome back to the Help Me Parent podcast. My name is Kylie and I'm your host, and with me is Dr. Ellen Moore. Hello.
Good morning.
We're on opposite sides of the table. I'm usually there. Mm-hmm. You're here, so.
Switching it up.
I like it. And with us is Megan Ludwig. Hello.
Hello.
You've been on the pod before.
Yes.
Welcome back.
I'm a frequent flyer.
You're a frequent flyer. You've made it back.
Thank you.
You're at the top of the list.
Thank you for asking me.
Yes. And so today we're shooting in September. It is back to school season. It is not 90 degrees outside right now, which I'm excited about.
Yes.
And for all of you who celebrate, it is pumpkin season back at Starbucks.
Nice.
Are you a pumpkin person? Are you?
No.
No.
Hot tea. Only
hot tea. Oh, I guess you can't put pumpkin in hot tea. That would be disgusting.
You should not.
Heard it here first. But it is also back to school season. Yep. And we thought we'd spend an episode kind of talking about how to start the school year strong and maintain that throughout the year for parents and for their kids. So we have two experienced educators with us. So just kind of tell everybody both of y'all's backgrounds with education.
Yeah. My undergraduate and graduate degrees are all in the field of education. I was a public school teacher, a private school teacher, and an administrator. So, and then came on at the church as children's pastor about 18 years ago. So my whole education and career have been around the world of education, both academic, emotional, social, and spiritual.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. My degree is in elementary education and special education. And then I was a public school teacher, taught first and second grade, which arguably I think are the best grades.
Ooh, that exist. I don't know.
She would disagree.
Third. But love those third graders.
And then back at the church. So my entire career, both of my careers have been around the same. The same genres of children.
Nice. So. Would you go above third grade, though, in teaching?
No, probably
not. I did fourth grade observation once.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, that was hard. But it was fun.
But I'm so thankful for the teachers that is their heart and their expertise, both them and middle school, junior high. Hats off. That's a whole different world.
Yes, so absolutely.
They're my heroes.
Yeah. So what are some of y'all's favorite memories, kind of with kids or parents or school in general?
Wow. There's so many. Being a teacher and being single at the same time brings a lot of funny stories of the whole, because in kids' minds, because I was for the first 4 years of being a teacher, I wasn't married. And so that just blows kids' minds because they're like, you're an adult and you're a teacher, so obviously you're married and you probably have children, which was not true for me. So I had a kid one time say, it's like, Miss Moore, do you have a husband? I was like, no. I said, do you have a son? I said, no. I said, do you have a daughter? It's like, no. And he turned to the little girl next to him. He said, Miss Moore's alone.
Wow.
And I was like, you're not wrong. I am alone at home. But by choice, Kyrie. So it was funny. So very humbling, I will say, as an early elementary teacher. Very humbling.
They're honest.
They are very honest.
Very honest.
What about you?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. One of the ones that comes to mind, my first year of teaching, which everybody just have lots of grace and mercy for first year teachers. It's hard.
We cry every day.
Yes, exactly. But my first year, and, you know, I was very excited, but also nervous and all. And the parents were coming in. I was teaching second grade. And they come in and they come up and ask me, excuse me, could you tell me where the teacher is?
Wow. You're like, present.
That would be me. I'm like, okay, we're off to a great start.
You're like, this is fun. Well, those are fun stories. Yeah. So we are at the start of the school year. Parents are now they don't have their kids 8 hours a day. They're in the hands of teachers and educators and professionals. What are some tips that y'all would give to parents as they're transitioning from maybe having their kids all summer long to mm-hmm. then not having them all day long mm-hmm. or just sending them to school in general?
Mm-hmm. I think I would say a couple of things to that. One, just because they're not in our purview, in our sight for those 8 hours a day, I think it's real important for parents to keep in mind that we're still the parent mm-hmm. and we are still the one responsible before God mm-hmm. for our kids. We're responsible for their physical development, emotional development, spiritual development, and academic development. Mm-hmm. And so when our kids go to school, we're asking, or where they get, when they go anywhere, we're asking different people to partner with us mm-hmm. in some aspect of development of our children. We go to school, we're asking teachers to partner with us mm-hmm. in their education, their academic, social, emotional development. When we take them to soccer practice, we're asking coaches to partner with us in their physical, social, emotional development. When we go to church, we're asking church to partner with us as parents in their spiritual development. So I think sometimes it's easy for us to kind of put it all off on the teachers. Yeah. And I think it's real important for everybody, for us as parents, for our kids, and for teachers to realize we are the ones actually responsible and need to be very aware and involved. And we can talk more about what that means and looks like throughout this episode. And then the other thing I would say for kind of kicking off the school year is summertime, we tend to have less routine. Mm-hmm. And there's some benefits mm-hmm. of that to having a looser schedule. Mm-hmm. But we don't get too far into summer and we're like, oh, our kids still need mm-hmm. some kind of schedule. And so we develop a routine, sometimes naturally, sometimes kind of intentionally. It's like, we still got to have bedtime.
Yeah.
So as the school year's starting, it's just a natural part of the natural rhythm of mm-hmm. the year to look at your routine, your rhythm as a family, both daily, weekly, especially, and then even monthly or quarterly, seasonally, and just look at, okay, what does our routine mm-hmm. need to look like right now? And being intentional with that.
Yeah, totally. With kind of the transition from summer to school, when should, even though it is the start of the school already, when should parents really start preparing it? Do you kind of figure it out as the first week happens? Can you set yourself up for success the month before? Or do you just kind of have to find it as it happens?
I can speak to it as, I'll speak to it as a parent and then let Megan speak to it as a teacher, like what teachers would like.
Yeah.
I would say as a parent, my mind just went blank. What's the question?
How can you prepare your kids yes. from the transition?
Yeah. Thank you.
Mind blank too. I was like, wait, what's the question?
Yeah. We're just keeping it real.
Yeah.
As parents, I think we can sometimes wait too long mm-hmm. to start the mm-hmm. routine yeah. because either we're wanting to just squeeze every moment mm-hmm. of enjoyment out of summertime mm-hmm. with staying up a little later or getting up a little later, mm-hmm. just not having the struggle sometimes that yes. boundaries uh-huh. create. Uh-huh. But I would say don't wait till the first week of school mm-hmm. to reinstate bedtime and get up time. Mm-hmm. it's just the first week is exhausting mm-hmm. for everybody, every member of the family. And it's not just physically tiring. It's like emotionally tiring. Mm-hmm. Kids are trying to keep it together all day long. And it just is very taxing mm-hmm. on them physically, mentally, emotionally. So I would say start earlier than you think.
Yeah.
At least 2 weeks before. Start getting back into a bedtime routine, a get up at a certain time, mm-hmm. and just reinstating some of those routines earlier than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's helpful to us as teachers too, because there's a lot of grace given the first week, 2 weeks of school. Mm-hmm. Everybody's due. I mean, the first week of school, a teacher, we say, if you were fed and you went home with the right person, we consider that a win. Like, yeah. whatever else happened in the middle of those 8 hours is kind of, we're dead tired at the end. So there's a lot of grace mm-hmm. given there. But there is definitely a difference between kids who have been prepared mm-hmm. at home and kids who haven't. You can mm-hmm. tell. You can tell who knows how to open their lunchbox and get all their food out, and you know who doesn't. And you mm-hmm. know who did go to bed at a good time and who mm-hmm. doesn't. And when you are one adult surrounded by 22 to 25 children mm-hmm. and you're having to deal with half of them this way, it's a lot, mm-hmm. you know? And so, like Ellen was saying, the partnership is so beneficial to mm-hmm. us as teachers. When you know that the parent is there to support you and you are supporting mm-hmm. them and you're working together, it's not just on the teacher, because during the school year, arguably, teachers can have more time with kids than parents do, awake
yeah.
mm-hmm. hours.
Yeah.
And so that's a lot of responsibility, you know? And so as teachers, we are, yes, doing the academic part, but every other part that Ellen mm-hmm. mentioned, we are doing the mental helping, and we're emotional and social and academic. It all goes mm-hmm. together. And so the earlier, the better. And even, you know, bedtime and waking up early is great, but practical things, especially as an early elementary teacher, mm-hmm. You have kids who don't even know how to open their applesauce or, you know, just mm-hmm. things like that. And so mm-hmm. especially parents of kids going into kindergarten, mm-hmm. there are so many things that you could practice at home mm-hmm. to prep them for school. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, this is your lunchbox. This is called your backpack. And here's how you open mm-hmm. your lunchbox, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you could spend some time, make it fun as a part of the end of summer prepping for the school year. You know, buy a new backpack, buy a lunchbox, you know, and you get to practice. And mm-hmm. maybe when you eat lunch at home the last 2 weeks of summer, you're eating at the table in your lunchbox. Uh-oh. So there's just things like that, that it just mm-hmm. helps set them up for success, helps teachers not have to mm-hmm. open 25 things of applesauce, which sounds so small, but it's a big deal.
And yeah. you said that, and I was like, wow, that 25 yeah. kids to open.
Well, and then if you imagine a lunchroom uh-huh. where you have 250
kids,
first graders, and they all, you know, on Go-Gurt day in the lunch line, it's the least favorite day. Because they're like, I don't know. So you're going around with scissors and opening everybody's Go-Gurt.
Yeah. That's funny. Even yeah. like showing them what a cool pack is, if you yes. put that in their lunch uh-huh. box, right. you know,
yeah. Yeah.
you don't need to do anything yes, with this.
It just stays there.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I like what you said about parents supporting teachers and vice mm-hmm. versa. What are some ways? Because, you know, maybe some parents over email teachers and some have no mm. communication with teachers. Mm-hmm. Is there a right way to show support to the teachers? And if so, what is it?
Yeah. Yes, they want support. I think you take your cue from your teacher. So, you know, if a teacher sends an email and they're asking for help with buying a book off of Amazon, or even, hey, showing up because we need an extra volunteer for field day, something like that, as much as you can do, which parents are working and parents have, you know, all these mm-hmm. other responsibilities. But the times that a teacher asks for help, if there is any way that you could offer help, do it. Mm-hmm. And that just shows help to the teacher. But I think it's also more of the one-on-one. So when a teacher has to call or email due to a behavior or academic concern, mm-hmm. if you will, as the parent, listen to what they say and then tell them you're gonna help with that at home or talk about that at home is all that the teacher's looking for, mm-hmm. you know, because something behavioral might happen at school, and I get it happened at school, so it's the teacher's responsibility to facilitate that situation. Mm-hmm. But having a backup conversation mm-hmm. at home to support what the teacher mm-hmm. said, nine times out of 10 is all that we really need, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the more that parents can do that, and like Ellen said, it's not the teacher's sole responsibility for their mm-hmm. academic, social, behavioral progress. You know, we need assistance from home to back up what the teacher is saying. And it's not just, oh, well, your teacher doesn't know what she's talking about. We're not going to do that at home. You know, there's just mm-hmm. ways to find that balance of the relationship and just kind of back the mm-hmm. teacher up and give some support there mm-hmm. when they ask for it, when they notify you, little mm-hmm. things like that. And it doesn't have to be a lot, just something little mm-hmm. to show support to the kid that you're supporting their teacher mm-hmm. and directly mm-hmm. to the teacher as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really good for parents to, we want to be there for our kids. We are our kids' advocate. Mm-hmm. We're their representative. Mm-hmm. So we need to be aware of what's going on and to remember in that there are, for everyone to remember, there are at least two sides to every mm-hmm. story, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So a teacher calls and it's a behavior that you've never seen mm-hmm. out of your child at home. Mm-hmm. It would be real easy for us as parents to get real defensive and say, well, I don't know who they're hanging with or what did somebody else do uh-huh. because I've never seen uh-huh. them do this before.
Or they don't ever do this at home.
Oh. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To just be careful of our first responses mm-hmm. and to say, oh, wow, that's really surprising. Mm-hmm. Do you know of any context or whatever? Well, I'll absolutely talk to them at yeah. home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when you talk to them at home, say, you know, hey, what happened? I talked to Miss Moore today and said there was an issue. What happened there? Mm-hmm. And you hear their side, but then also to not just totally take their side, uh-huh. you know, and yeah. say, okay, well, I understand that's how you felt and how you responded. Do you see how that might not have been the wisest choice, mm-hmm. you know? And just to know that we're actually supporting both mm-hmm. the teacher and the child, mm-hmm. and yeah. to support the teacher is not to negate your child's feelings, mm-hmm. thoughts, or experience. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But neither do we want to negate the mm-hmm. teacher's adult professional yes, opinion,
right? Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's real important and helpful
yeah.
for kids to know. Kids just need to know they're not running the show. Mm-hmm. They want to run the show, they think, yeah. but they're not. They're not yeah. ready to run mm-hmm. the show. Parents should be running the show mm-hmm. at home. Yep. Teachers should be running the show in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And we're working together
yeah.
to help them grow in development under those leadership yeah. roles.
Yeah. And you got to keep in mind, too, a teacher, you know, has, let's just say, 25 kids who all have different rules at their house. Mm-hmm. So you're bringing 25 kids who all have different rules to your classroom, and then the teacher's going to have rules and expectations. But then at your certain school, you have rules and expectations. Mm-hmm. So even keep in mind that sometimes a teacher has to call and tell you about something that even they're like, I totally would have let them do that. Or, yes, you know, like, uh-huh. you know, I ran into this a lot with boys when somebody would hit them and then they hit them back. And they're, you know, you call the parent and a dad or mom is like, well, we teach them that if a kid punches you, you're allowed to punch them back. And in my head, you're allowed to defend yourself. And in my head, I'm like, totally. Mm-hmm. But on my teacher hat, I can't just let a kid punch another kid for any reason. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have to call you. So just when the parent can hear the heart of the phone call or mm-hmm. the email, you know, and it's mm-hmm. like, I am not, because I'm not saying that I disagree with you. And I probably can't even say that over the mm-hmm. phone. So I'm just asking the what Ellen said about, we will absolutely have a conversation. That's all I need to know. Mm-hmm. And then whatever conversation you mm-hmm. want to have with mm-hmm. your kid about, hey, I know we can do self-defense, but, you know, we've also got to look at some other strategies mm-hmm. and, you yeah. know, where are we, what mm-hmm. situation, things like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, as a parent, trying to tell you the rule to have at home mm-hmm. or what to say to your kid, but just this, like, absolutely, thank you for letting me know. We will have a conversation about mm-hmm. this is all you have to say, yeah. you know. Yeah. Just due to the yes. wide mm-hmm. variety of, yeah. you know, lives and mm-hmm. rules and what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, and trying to make it all work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's helpful to remember that the teacher is an adult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The child is a child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I used to tell my parents, like on open house night or the parent meeting, I was like, let's just make an agreement from the mm-hmm. get-go. If you will only believe half of what they tell you at home about mm-hmm. what happens at school, mm-hmm. I will only believe half of what they tell me happens at home.
Right.
Yes. Yep. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's easy for a child to come home, tell their parent, and we just yeah. get all up in arms, yep. defensive, like, happened? Oh, uh-huh. my word. Where was the teacher? Where was the yeah. supervision? How yeah. on earth did this happen? Before we respond like that yeah. in our email mm-hmm. or phone call, to yeah. just take a minute and say, okay, I'm getting this from an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
So let's yes. keep that in mind
yeah.
as I make this phone call
uh-huh. right.
to find out
yes.
what happened. Again, not negating or yep. ignoring what the child is saying yep. or experiencing, but to remember they're a child,
yeah.
talk to the adult, and not to say teachers are never wrong.
Right.
We're wrong absolutely. As parents too. Mm-hmm. But to be open to both sides of the story and realizing from your child, you might not be getting the yeah. whole story.
Yeah. Yes. No, totally. Because like it sounds, it's like school isn't just staying at school. There are things you have to talk through and walk through sure. and do yeah. at home to help your child absolutely. And partner with the teacher.
Yeah.
I love that. Let's talk a little bit about the spiritual side of the school year. You know, it's busy. You might not be going to a weekday service as much. You might be, because it's late nights, school, sports mm-hmm. are picking up. So what are some ways that you can still keep your child spiritually connected through the school year? Praying, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, what I would say is, even during the school year, like year round, if this is something that you say as the parent, this is important for mm-hmm. us as a family, mm-hmm. like a relationship with Jesus, going to church and being around other followers mm-hmm. of Jesus, getting good input, if you say that's important, what we say doesn't have as much impact as what we do. Mm-hmm. And so if we're going to say that, then we kind of, we have to back that up mm-hmm. with our practices mm-hmm. and we build in the routine. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you decide from the get-go, you know, every day you're not deciding, should my child go to school or should they not? Mm-hmm. It's a given.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go mm-hmm. to school. Now, yeah. somebody wakes up sick, then yeah. we yes. readjust. Yeah. Same with church. Mm. Decide. We go to church every Sunday,
yeah.
Or we go to church every Wednesday, whatever that routine is,
yeah.
and stick to the routine.
Yeah.
Don't let it be a negotiable where you're having to think about it and make right. a decision every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Or it's dependent on how you feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or how they feel, right. or what yeah. mood somebody's in, yeah. or whatever. It's just, this is what we do. Yeah. And it actually helps take one less decision off your plate.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say, number one, is if it's part of your weekly routine, like we talked about, at, like I mentioned at the beginning, just make it part of the schedule. And then on a daily basis, because being friends and followers of Jesus isn't something we just do on Sundays. It's every day of the week. But we're busy. Kids are at school. We're at work. We've got practices. We've got siblings. We've got extended family. We've got birthdays. All kinds of things that are going on. So to not put too much pressure on yourself or too many expectations of what it has to look like to this spiritual development. We can keep it a priority without it taking an hour a day.
Yeah.
You do not have to have an hour devotion with your kids every night in order to be a friend and follower of Jesus. Jesus gets it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he just needs to go to bed.
Yeah.
So find ways to do it within your routine. And something that we would do while the kids were eating breakfast, sometimes I would take that opportunity and read a psalm or a proverb. And they're just eating breakfast and listening. And that's it. I might, when they got older, I might ask them, hey, was there, what from what I just read jumped out to you? Was there a word or a sentence? And we'd kind of talk about that. Sometimes we didn't have time for that. We woke up late, whatever. And it's like, I'm just praying before I shoo them out the door or before on our drive to drop them off at school. And it's like, Lord, be with them, keep them safe, help them with their test today, and to be a good friend and make a friend. Done. It's as simple as that. Bath time at bedtime is a great time to have a conversation. Hey, what happened at school today? And if they're struggling with something or something good happened, just point that back to, that just shows Jesus was helping you.
Yeah.
Look how he showed up.
Yeah.
And, or you know what? We can talk to Jesus about that, what you should do about that. And he's going to help you. Just making it part of your conversation, part of your routine, very natural. Being followers of Jesus is walking with Jesus.
What are some things you think, as like from a teacher's perspective, what do you think they need prayer for over the school year? Or as a parent, like what did you see that Megan needed prayer for when she was little? And stuff like that.
I think there's a lot of social. There's a big social piece of school that I think sometimes is like second place to academics when really they can have an equal spot. Especially, I was an elementary school teacher, so that's where a lot of this comes into play. But it's very true for middle school and junior high. This, with each new season of school, this the social piece is different. And so you're relearning all of these things. And so kids' feelings, you know, they are trying to figure out how to make a new friend. And you're like, that's easy. Like, go make a new friend. But they're like, how do you do that? Like, that's hard. And I mean, think of it as an adult. Like, none of us love to be in those rooms where you have a name tag on and there's all these random people and it's like, go make a friend. You're like, no, thank you. I'm going to go stand up here by myself. The same is true with kids, you know? And so they there's a lot of that. There's a lot of who do I sit next to in the cafeteria. There's a lot of then anxiety and things, feelings that can come from academics. You know, if they don't feel confident in reading and yet they're asked to read, you know, they don't feel confident in their math skills. And so that's, I think, what kids need prayer for. They need prayer for confidence, not feel alone, to not feel scared or nervous, that the Lord is with them. That one, as a teacher, there's so many times I wished, you know, I was a public school teacher, so you gotta have to watch what you say. But that is what I wish I could tell them all the time. It's like, you are not doing this alone. You know, the Lord can help you read. The Lord knows how to read, and he can help you know how to read, and he can give you ideas. And the Lord's really good at math. He can help you be good at math, you know, and he can help make it make sense to you. And the Lord knows who should be your friend this year, and he'll bring that friend to you. And it'll be so obvious that that is the friend that you were supposed to make this year that wasn't in your class last year. And now they may be your best friend for the rest of your high school till you're in high school, you know. And so that, I think, is what Kizzy prayed for.
And I think in addition to praying and giving them opportunity to pray, something that is so helpful is giving them opportunity to practice. And so while we're telling them they are not alone, God wants to help you be a good friend and make a good friend. And in order to find good friends, you have to be a good friend, which means being kind. All of those things, we're having those conversations, but also giving them opportunity to practice and taking that responsibility on as a parent, not putting it all off on the teacher, saying, my child has no friends in the lunchroom. What are you going to do about it? And they're like, we're just trying to keep get all the go-gurts open. So not putting that off on other people, but saying, okay, what can I do as a parent? We did lots of role play in our house when the kids were little, lots of practicing. And we would practice obeying. We would practice book reports, you know, all of those things, but also practicing conversation. We had to do this with our son. And like when I remember he was taking somebody, asking a girl out for the first time on a date and being a conversationalist wasn't his natural strength. So we practiced some things. What would you say? And it's like, okay, well, if she says this, then what are you going to say? Or what's the next question? To do this even with young kids, you know, okay, you sit down with somebody you don't really know at lunch. What are some things you could talk about? Some questions you could ask and just kind of doing this role play. Make it fun, make it silly, but you're giving them some real practical tools to use.
We kind of talked about it, like when you were kind of naming the things kids need prayer for. Those are often things they're struggling with at school. They can be struggling socially, academically, anxiety, bullying, anything. What do you do? What do you do when you see your child struggling? And how can you help them? And what do you do?
I think number one, refrain from panicking and think, oh my goodness, my child is going to struggle for the rest of their life in this area. Refrain from blaming somebody else, the teacher, the other kids, whatever. And then looking at it from the lens of, okay, ultimately, this is my responsibility. So what is it that they're struggling with, and how can I help them? And so we experienced this on kind of both ends as parents. Sometimes our kids were in a class and they had great friends, and so socially they were fine, and academically they were fine, except they were not being challenged. It was just so easy. They were never having to study their spelling words or whatever. And so whenever I saw that, unfortunately, they had a teacher as a mom. And so I would look for ways to increase the challenge. And if they had 20 spelling words at school that were so easy, they got another 10 or 20 mm-hmm. at home. Mm-hmm. And we would do a spelling test with the school words plus the additional mm-hmm. words every Friday. Mm-hmm. And because it's like you're going to... So challenging them wasn't all the teacher's responsibility. It's yeah. like, my child is not being challenged. What are you going to do about it? The first question should be, what am I going to do about yeah. it? Mm-hmm. And then maybe have a mm-hmm. conversation with the sure, teacher. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then if they're struggling with something, it's like, okay, they're not getting this. It's, again, instead of putting this on the teacher, how are you going to help them? They're not getting enough one-on-one time. To look at asking the teacher, how can I help them at home? Yeah. How can I help them with comprehension? How can I help them with these math skills, with reading? Mm-hmm. And again, it's a partnership. They're ultimately our responsibility. It is not on the teacher. Yeah. So that's what I would say there.
Yeah, and I think on the struggling side, majority of the time, the solution is simpler than you think. Mm-hmm. As a early education teacher, when a kid was having trouble with reading, majority of the time, it's just because they didn't have enough practice, mm-hmm. that they weren't reading at home as much. When I would talk to the parent, like, y'all guys, do you read at home? They're like, no, not as much as we should, the majority of the time, which mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, life is busy. Mm-hmm. But really, especially with reading, the solution is pretty simple and pretty quick. If you will just read one book, mm-hmm. a small book at night, and it doesn't always have to be the kid reading to you.
Which can take forever.
Right. If they're struggling with reading, it's like every single syllable, and you're like, come on, I gotta go to bed. But even you reading to your kid helps them with reading because they're listening to your inflection. They're listening to when you stop a punctuation. You're doing silly voices, which helps them build some personality mm-hmm. into their reading, which are all parts mm-hmm. of reading. And then I had parents a lot, well, they're like, we try to read, but they just want to read the same books over and over. Great. Mm-hmm. That's reading. Mm-hmm. And they're practicing. Mm-hmm. They are building reading confidence because they have memorized this book. Mm-hmm. However, they're looking at it, they're looking at the words, they're making a connection in their brain. So it doesn't always have to be this struggle of books that are so hard for them that they're taking an hour to finish a 5-page book, you know? Mm-hmm. And a teacher, I think it's a great thing to always ask, like, hey, do you have any resources that we can use at mm-hmm. home? Because mm-hmm. then, yeah, maybe I might give you a sight word book to practice in addition to the ones that are fun that you're mm-hmm. already doing. But really just the practice mm-hmm. and the routine of doing things at home mm-hmm. will help them at school. Same with math, you know, as we're cooking dinner or you're on your way to baseball practice. It's like, hey, let's make up a silly song for our addition facts. Let's make up a silly song for our multiplication facts. And you're just doing it constantly mm-hmm. and practicing at home. Mm-hmm. Majority of the time will help them at school. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always fix it. And there's kids that are going to need a little bit more than that. And teachers are there to help you and they can give you resources. But when you come to that parent-teacher meeting as, hey, what can I do? Please help me help my child. Just helps that conversation go so much more easier and you're able to get resources and it just kind of brings an even playing field to it. But I just keep in mind that the solution is most of the time easier than you think. Mm. And, you know, parents come and, you know, they're very concerned. They're panicking mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they still write their threes backwards. Well, and then I tell them, like, guess what? 21 out of 22 of my kids still write their threes backwards. Yes. And they're like, no way. Oh, my gosh, that makes me feel so much better. And they've spent the past week panicking. Yes. And they didn't even need to, you know, because mm-hmm. just because your kid doesn't get it right in this moment mm-hmm. does not mean they have a learning disability, does not mean they automatically have a diagnosis, does not mm-hmm. mean they're failing. They're just not getting it right now, which is okay. When mm-hmm. you think back to babies and how some start walking and talking at one and some start walking and talking later, And there's a tendency to be like, oh my gosh, my kid's not the same as others, but eventually they do. Mm-hmm. And if you think about kids, eventually every kid will be able to read. Mm-hmm. Every kid, you know, like you don't, there's not this vast majority of adults going around. They're like, no, I struggle in the first grade. I still can't read anything. Like eventually you get it. Uh-huh. And it's different. And some kids get it better. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that go into that. But eventually it'll click. Eventually they'll get it. They'll have enough practice. And so the no panicking is definitely mm-hmm. a thing, because you are helping them. A teacher is helping them. And the Lord is helping them. Yeah. And eventually it'll click.
Yeah, which I think is good about, I think it's helpful for us to keep the end in sight.
Yeah.
What is the goal? The goal is for your kids to be able to read and write in order to be good communicators.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And to love reading, to love learning, to know basic math, these things. So our words are actually very important, mm-hmm. what we say to our kids. Mm. And it's like, it's so tempting sometimes when they're struggling and we're struggling. It's like, I don't remember how to do that kind of math.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? You're never going to use this again. Mm. And you kind of shrug it off and just sort of like, it doesn't matter. You're communicating something that I don't think we want to communicate for the end in sight. And so to just to remember that, and it can also take some of the pressure off. Mm-hmm. I want my kids to love to read. Mm-hmm. So let them love listening to me read and read chapter books at night, just reading aloud.
Yeah.
Let them see me read when we have on Saturdays or Sunday afternoons or bedtime. Oh, yeah, mom's always reading a book before she goes to bed. Let them see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hear how you use math. It's like, oh, man, I had to figure out how much this cost and how much money we had in the bank. Mm-hmm. And that requires math, you know. Yeah. So just being aware of our words to make sure we're not communicating something we don't want to communicate, but also remember the end is this love of learning, to know the basics. And if they love learning and love reading, then they're going to figure out everything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think also, don't be afraid to take advantage of the resources that exist nowadays to parents. Some of my absolute favorite educators are dyslexia teachers. One of my closest educator friends is the best dyslexia teacher I've ever met. And whenever I had a kid that I was like, I think they may have dyslexia, or that's a hard conversation sometimes for parents, because they're like, what are you saying? My kid is dumb. They don't know anything. Are you saying they're going to be dumb forever? Mm-hmm. And it's just, but it's like, no, I am trying to refer you to one of the best dyslexia teachers I know that's at our campus that could help your child get the resources they need to be a better reader. And if you'll do it, not that she will help you, and then in a few years, they're going to be caught up exactly to where everybody else is. Mm-hmm. Same with speech. You know, sometimes that's a hard conversation to have with parents when, like, hey, okay, at this point, they really should be able to produce the TH sound, and your child is having some struggles with that. We have a wonderful speech program where a licensed speech therapist can help them. It's of no cost to you because it's here at school. And parents can get so caught up in, oh my gosh, what are you saying about my child, that they're missing out on this opportunity that's included in public school or in private, you know, there's, they're everywhere. And so just to take some of those, remind yourself of that, if those conversations come up, that that resource is there for you. That's that teacher's entire job to help kids in that niche thing that they need help with. And 9 times out of 10, those are the best teachers because they're so honed in on their specialty. That it's like, please, I'm like, please take advantage. Yeah. She's wonderful. And so just keeping those things in mind, that that's literally what they're there for. And it's not saying anything about your kid, about their future, about their capabilities, about what they're going to be when they grow up. It's just saying right now they could use some outside help besides just me. And I'm offering that to you, you know. And yes, it might put a temporary label on your child according to school, but you choose, like you said, your words. Mm-hmm. So if your student is needing some dyslexia services, you don't have to talk about that at home. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tell your family and friend. It doesn't have to become this who thing. They
that
are.
My child is their dyslexic. Identity.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. It's like, just...
we're working on our reading skills.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they might go to this other class for a little while. So just when those things come up, don't be afraid to take them on mm-hmm. without making it who they are, who you are. Mm-hmm. But just resource. There's just so many vast ones as time goes on and, you know, we're different day and age, things like that. And so mm-hmm. just yeah. don't be afraid to say yes.
Yeah.
And to online resources.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't have to make up the addition fact songs.
Yeah.
Just search it on YouTube yes. uh-huh. and, you know, yeah. play it and y'all all do it as a family or whatever. But one thing I do just want to say on this mm-hmm. that is so tempting to us as parents is the whole comparison
yeah.
thing. Comparing our kids to everybody else.
Yeah.
And really, we're not comparing them to everybody else. We're comparing them to what we think everybody else can do
yeah.
or is like.
Yeah.
So we're comparing them to some ideal that honestly may or may not exist.
Yeah.
And so to just remember your child is made by God
yeah.
in God's image. He has given them particular strengths
yeah.
and skills and abilities that they are going to use in kindergarten and first grade, and they're going to use them in fifth and sixth grade. They're going to use them in high school. They're going to use them in college. They're going to use them in adults, all in different ways. So to be careful of comparison and our expectations.
Yeah.
Not every kid is a straight-A kid.
Yep.
That does not mean they are any less capable, mm-hmm. any less gifted, any less intelligent. Their intelligence just shows up in different ways yeah. than on the report card.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may be brilliant at taking things apart and fixing them, mm-hmm. but reading is a struggle. Mm-hmm. Or they may be brilliant at visualizing something and getting it on paper, but math facts are just a struggle. Not that we don't do the things that are struggles, we yes. work on them, mm-hmm. but sometimes a C is something to be celebrated yeah. for yep. a child.
Absolutely.
And that is just as much a celebration for that child in that subject area as an A is
yep.
for this child in this subject area. So to not put too, to be careful of our expectations and our comparisons. Mm-hmm. And we are asking the Lord as parents, Lord, show me how you've created this child, and all of your kids are going to be different,
yep.
what their strengths and weaknesses mm-hmm. are. Show me how to recognize those strengths, hone in on those, speak life into those, be aware of the weaknesses mm-hmm. and how we can strengthen them
yeah.
to a certain degree. But weaknesses are not always going to end up mm-hmm. with A's and 100 averages.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's not a lesser than. It is them being who God created yeah, them
absolutely.
To be. And to celebrate that, help them along the way, and help them develop that confidence that comes from places other than report cards
yes.
or other people's opinions.
Yes.
And to say, you know what? This isn't your strength, but we're going to work our tails off. We're going to do this together. And you get that C and you celebrate the bejeebers out of it.
Yeah. 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 Well, that is a great note to end on. And we hope and pray that this episode encourages you, gives you hope yeah. for the school year and strength for the school year starting now till May. And thank you, guys. Thank you, Megan, for coming
Absolutely.
On and all that y'all shared. And we hope that you guys took something from this. Just remember that you can parent and we can help.